The last portion of the show this week, let's talk about my guide to organic pest control. Again, this is just going to be off the top of my head, so it's going to be a little bit casual, let's say it that way. And do realize, for those of you that may be new to me in my radio show of my brag over 20 years now, it's all organic. I don't use things that have not proven to be safe for you, your children, your pets, and the environment. Does it sometimes take a little bit more work? Yes. But do the results more than pay off, both in health quality and environmental safety? Yes, by all means, they do. First, don't forget you have a hand with fingers. Sharp-eyed hand picking and trapping is probably the best control for a heck of a lot of your garden insects. But not every insect battle can be won with just what I call hand-to-hand combat. Instead, you may need some intervention occasionally, but here I'll try to present those interventions that cause little or no harm to the natural predators and beneficial life forms that are already living in your garden, provided you've taken good care of it and been careful. Over the years I've gardened and studied gardening. Currently, folks, for those of you that know me, realize I don't have a gardening system because I've, by default or no fault of my own, traveled an awful lot and been a lot of places. And believe me, I love gardening. But boy, when you can go to Costa Rica or in Australia or even another part of the country, or go out west and grow, and I did this last year, an entire crop of CBD, a whole thing I never thought I'd get into. The education there is at least as valuable as my home garden. But boy, when I get home and get settled, gardening is one of the first things I want to get started again. I do want to mention that I'm certainly not the only source. There's thousands of them out there. You can learn more about a couple options I always first go to. I call them my go-first approaches. One's beneficial insects. And the other is I want to call it integrated living. Whether you use ducks or chickens or beneficial insects in your garden, they all can be an asset to you, both for the environment and for the food you want to grow for you and your family. So let's start with what I call the real basic biologicals. The oldest and best one of at least known biological pesticides that I use on a regular basis in my garden is called BT. Bacillus thuringiensis, and there's a bunch of subspecies. The ones I use in my garden most is called Kurstaki, K-U-R-S-T-A-K-I. And it remains, to me, one of the top remedies for any leaf-eating caterpillar that you happen to have to deal with. Fortunately, BT is based on a naturally occurring soil bacteria that causes the caterpillar's gut literally to rupture several hours after it eats. There's a new biologicals pesticide called spinosad, and it's a fermented brew of a couple of natural bacteria, and it slowly paralyzes the insects after they eat it. Spinosad is widely used in a number of fire ant baits, which is very important where I live. And it's also useful for controlling leaf-eating beetles, such as the Mexican bean beetles, Colorado potato beetles, where cabbage worms and army worms and European corn borers or other caterpillars require repeated treatment. Experts recommend alternating BT, which I just mentioned, and spinosad to keep the insects from becoming resistant to these two biological control methods. Another, I guess, magic potion, although it's actually a powder, in my arsenal is diatomaceous earth. Even though it feels as soft as talcum powder in your hand, under a microscope you would see that each particle has really sharp edges, like little diamonds, little knives. When enough gets wedged into the heads and legs and joints of other of soft-bodied insects, it desiccates them and they just dry up and die. Diatomaceous earth deters slug feeding too, so it does help with slugs and snails. The effects are short-lived because it seeps into the mulch and soil after rain, but a thorough, well-timed dusting will give you good control of aphids, leafhoppers, and slugs and snails. In contrast, the particles of a thing called kaolin clay are so tiny that they form a thin kind of a paint cover when mixed with water. Leaves covered with this stuff are ignored by most common pests, and those that do nibble on clay-coated leaves just hate it. They usually move on. An ideal example is grasshoppers. Sometimes you might even notice organically grown produce that'll have traces of kind of a dusty off-white residue. In most cases, they were probably treated with kaolin clay. Another control that's not often talked about in the real pesticide world are soaps and oils. Aphids, mites, and other small sucking insects just don't have much of an exoskeleton, a shell. And they can often be controlled with just a couple applications of an insecticidal soap. I usually do it about 5 to 7 days apart. Assuming you get the soap on the insects, which is you really have to spray them, its fatty acids cause the bugs to die through literal desiccation. They just dry up. For best applications, I found out that if you blast the infected plant with a strong spray of water, kind of get the offenders, the guys, dislodged, then apply insecticidal soap to kill any mists by the water spray itself. Do realize, use the soap sparingly if you can. It could, in some crops, reduce yields of the crop. Also, and do realize that even though these soaps and oils are very, very, very beneficial, they can damage leaves and your plants if you apply it on hot, sunny days. Be very early in the morning, very late in the day, not in the middle of a 100-degree day, please. If you couldn't use one oil, you opt to go the oil route. The best one I know to mention to you is neem oil, which is derived from a tree originally grown in India, tropical neem tree. A bunch of studies have shown it didn't do quite as much on some pests as we thought, but in general, it's very good. The only bad thing I don't like about neem is I understand it can be detrimental to the bee populations if you put it on plants that the bees frequent, so be a little bit careful with it. It has been shown to be very effective against Mexican bean beetles and other hard-to-control bad boys, I call them. Because in addition to smothering, the action of neem oil is a little different. Because when it's ingested, it slows the feeding of the animal itself and is really good, which means bad, on their reproductive system. And as a little switch to pace, if you're really willing to pay close attention to the details of timing and temperature and moisture, you can do some amazing things with a little microscopic life forms. Among them is a thing called beneficial nematodes, which used properly can literally wipe out every cutworm in a newly dug bed if you learn how to use it. I have a friend, Bob Webster, and some other people that are beginning to use these little tiny, they're almost like little parasitic earworms. Tony, you can almost see them if you've got really good eyes, but they actually inject them into the stems of their squash plants to prevent squash vine borers. Japanese beetle grubs also make fine hosts for these nematodes if you have to live in an area where the Japanese beetles become a problem. Thank goodness we don't have them here yet. Where grasshoppers are actually the biggest problem, what we call the farmscaping approach that works best is to maintain a moist, grassy area away from your garden now. That encourages grasshoppers to congregate there. It's easy, especially if you kind of mow around it, leave that area growing. In early spring, just as the grasshoppers begin to emerge, you place baits that contain a thing, it's a spore of a bacteria called Nosema lacustre. And you put them in and around the grasshopper habitat you've created. Young grasshoppers that eat it will grow weak and die. And this is really interesting. Most people don't realize as the grasshoppers mature, they are actually cannibals. And so when they eat the young first, second, and third instar grasshoppers, they eat them. They also contract the spore. I have used them myself, and if you use them early in the season, they seem to be pretty effective. Later, once the grasshoppers get bigger, they just it does eventually make them sick, ill, whatever, but the numbers get huge in certain areas. So it's not the perfect, but especially in little garden areas where you can control it, Simaspore is the commercial name, one of them at least, for Nosema lacustre, and it's worked pretty well for me. And finally, one I haven't seen used in my area very much, but it's kind of the new kid on the block, although it's really not. It's been around, we just haven't been around it, is Bovaria bassiana, which is a fungus, the spores of which germinate and grow, especially on whiteflies, thrips, and a number of other pests, turning them into, literally, you'll see them, little white mummies. There's nothing left. It's a useful tactic, but may result, if you're not careful, you have to be careful, because it will cause casualties, I guess is the word I want to use, in lady beetles and other susceptible insects if you use it a little too freely and a little too easily. So be careful using it, but it can be kind of a last resort, especially if you're having a real white fly problem. I hope that's been helpful. And for those of you that really, really want to get into it, just a couple of shows back. And again, you can backtrack all my shows if you go to bruce.dooley, bruce.dooley.com. Then start going down the list. There's about 500 shows on there. And among them are the use of poultry and ducks and guineas and turkeys and everything in your garden. Yes, once you learn to use them, they're extremely helpful. And you get, in the case of chickens, if you want eggs, for those of you that don't have a problem with it, ducks probably make, to me, even better eggs than chickens. The right duck in the right place. Guineas and turkeys are all also edible. Some people don't want to do that. I do. I'm trying to get away from so much meat, but I'm certainly trying to get away from too much red meat. So they've become some of my alternatives. But they are great, great, great for eliminating the bigger bugs like grasshoppers, Japanese beetles, pill bugs even, crickets, grubs, cabbage worms, all. Especially, I happen to be a lover of a thing called Muscovy ducks. Look them up. I should do, I guess, a whole special, not just on ducks, but on Muscovy ducks. Anyway, for this week, thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. If you need me, lowercase nature approved, past tense, ED, @yahoo.com, or just go to bruce.dooley.com. Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters.